First, I'd like to take care of a little business that we've started last week in reference to our Catholic appeal. If you take your bulletins at home and open them, you'll see that Father Carlos, our pastor, has left us a message in support of the Catholic appeal. But I just want to take a moment to remind you. Through our Catholic appeal, our diocese is able to address the spiritual education and humanitarian needs of the nine counties in ways that no parish alone could achieve. Visually, this illustrates the size of the Diocese of Orlando, and it's not just Orlando and Orange County. Next, shortly we will be reciting the Nicene Creed. Every time that we say the Creed, we reaffirm the fact that we are members of the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. Each of us is responsible not only for his or her parish, but also for the well-being of the church throughout our diocese and the world. Here is one example of service the diocese provides that we might not think about. Insurance for all 79 parishes and 44 schools is handled by the diocese, as are claims. The damage from the hurricanes is a concrete example of how the diocese supports all its members by obtaining the best deal possible to meet our insurance needs to the processing of all claims. They also address the humanitarian needs of the parishes and its parishioners after the storms through groups such as Catholic Charities. And next, to reach our goal of $181,177, I believe is the total figure, it is important that many parishioners as possible make a pledge to support the appeal. Again, we thank everyone who has already responded by mail or at Mass last weekend. If you have never supported our Catholic appeal, we encourage you to consider doing so this year. Remember, no gift is too small. For those of you who were not here last week, our Catholic appeal envelopes can be picked up at the back of the church in the banners by the OCA or our Catholic appeal. There are also some over by the exits. Once completed, they can be placed in either the first or second collection basket at any Mass, at any weekend. Thank you for your assistance in this important matter. In reference to our scripture today, those of you who have Bibles at home, I would recommend that you go to 1 Samuel chapter 24 through 27 and read them in order to get the full gist of today's scripture. We at some point in our lives encounter individuals who are in opposition to us. As a result, we then have a choice to either make peace or make war. And we find ourselves perilously well-designed to make war. War then characterizes the entities as enemies. This is because one's possessions, station in life, or misconstrued idea rubs up against another and produces an irritation wherein each side blames the other. Families usually have a bond called love that holds them together and compromises these irritations. Yet most believe enemies are for hating, and love is reserved for family, friends, and allies. In today's gospel, Jesus says, "To you who hear, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you." When Jesus calls us to love those who hate us, he is calling for us to do something that is totally contrary to our human nature. We want to get revenge. Get them before they get us, and they won't mess with us anymore. Then we will feel better. After all, revenge is sweet, isn't it? Hatred is a horrible tool that can literally destroy us. Scientific studies have shown the damage hatred can do. Anger causes our blood pressure and breathing rate to increase, which causes a strain on our heart that can trigger a heart attack or stroke. Besides headaches, it could cause a weakening of our immune system, subjecting one to various diseases. This anger is usually accompanied with hatred that lends to faulty decisions, outbursts that result in embarrassment, feelings of guilt and possible depression, because no one wants to be around us. This anger and hatred will destroy us spiritually, because the essence of God is love. Hatred in our heart leaves no room for God. We are disconnected from God. That is because our focus is on the anger and hatred towards the person who wronged us, making it difficult to function properly. What is the solution to this imprisonment? Jesus said, "It is by doing good to those who hate you." The one thing we all have control over is how we are going to respond. When we make the choice to respond to those who hate us, to those who are angry with us, by doing good to them, in time we can diffuse a tense situation. And if not, it will totally confuse the one who hates us, because they are expecting us to respond in anger. Plus, it will also diffuse some of the anger they have toward us. It is really difficult for someone to continue to hate us when we do them a good turn. Kindness and love changes people. Here is a story about two Chinese farmers who each owned a rice paddy adjacent to the other. The first man irrigated his paddy by pumping water out of a nearby canal. Every day, after the first farmer had pumped enough water to fill his paddy, the second man would come out, remove the boards that kept the water in his neighbor's paddy, and allow the water to drain into his paddy so he wouldn't have to pump water to fill his own. This continued for some time. Finally, the first farmer, in exasperation, turned to God in prayer for a solution. The Lord responded by putting this thought in his mind. The next morning, the first farmer got up early and started pumping water into his neighbor's paddy first. When it was filled, he placed the boards to fill his rice paddy next. The result is both rice paddies became productive, and the second man was moved by his neighbor's loving action, and the two men became friends. Now the first farmer was surprised by the freedom he felt from not being burdened by the anger he was having toward his neighboring farmer. How many remember the phrase, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me"? There are not that many things that carry more power in life than the way we communicate with one another. Words can cut, destroy a career or reputation, and hurt in general. It is so much easier to lash out at people than it is to use our speech to build them up and calm them down as a situation develops. Throwing gasoline on a fire worsens a situation, or rubbing salt into a cut stings the wound and results in pain. Typically, negative actions cause bad reactions. That is the reason Jesus tells us that one of the best ways to respond to our enemies is by blessing them. Positive words can be a salve to heal wounds in people's lives. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. And then from Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1, a mild answer calms wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. In the first reading with King Saul and David, there were no harsh words that broke down their relationship. It was words of praise and adulation heaped upon David that created a rift between the two of them. Many times, people act hatefully toward each other. They envy something they don't think they can attain, and their frustration and jealousy comes out in hateful actions. That is why Saul tried to spear David, and then later hunted for him after his escape. Although David never had any animosity toward Saul, David spared the king's life on two occasions because his heart was filled with love of God and trust and belief that God would protect him. Fear, whether well-founded or unreasonable, can motivate people to do a lot of things they would not otherwise do, and sometimes it makes people act out of hate. That is what Saul has become an enemy to David. Also, simply by not knowing what may happen next. Let me call it ignorance and describe it in this way. Two gas company servicemen, one a senior training supervisor and a young trainee, were checking meters. They parked their truck at one end of an alley and worked their way to the other end. At the last house, a woman was looking out her kitchen window and watched the men as they checked her gas meter. When they finished, the older man challenged his younger coworker to a foot race down the alley back to the truck. As they came running up to their truck, they realized that the lady from the last house was huffing and puffing right behind them. They stopped and asked her what was wrong. Gasping for breath, she responded, "When I see two gas men running at full speed away from my house, I figured I had better run too." In this situation, not knowing is the ignorance, and being aware that there could be an outcome that could have a negative impact is the fear. It can be fear of losing a promotion at work, or fear of the results of a project you are planning, or fear that people will look negatively at you if your superiors heap praise on you. It takes a lot of strength to overcome fear or to show love to one who has hurt us. The only place we are going to get that strength is from God. Despite our human nature telling us to fight fire with fire, God is where we can get the power to resist the pull and to fight the urge to act hatefully. It takes his strength and his power to do it. To you who hear, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. For the measure with which you measure will in return be measured out to you.